Hello, ECCDC community. We're thrilled to have you join us for another episode of the ECCDC podcast. I'm Katie Lynn Parkinson, your host, and today we have a fantastic guest with us, Adriana Carbone. Our focus today is on the topic of learning and exploring through How Does Learning Happen? Ontario's Pedagogy for the Early Years. Adriana is a true expert in her field, and I first met her when I was the coordinator for QCCN, and she came to me wanting to know more about QCCN. She wanted to learn all about the tools, all about the resources, and not to know for her own information and her own knowledge base. She wanted to know that information so that she could bring that to her team and be that champion for them and support them with their needs and their questions. And from that moment forward, I had such an admiration for Adriana and her drive and her passion for learning and sharing that information with others. Through our conversations today, she's going to share a little bit about the importance of relationships, inclusivity, and reflective practice within that pedagogical framework. So get ready for a conversation that's not only enlightening, but filled with laughter and genuine insights. So without further ado, let's dive into the world of early childhood education and the profound question, how does learning happen? So welcome once again, Adriana. It's great to have you on our podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Today, we're going to dive in, as I kind of mentioned before in the introduction, into how does learning happen? But before we do that, I wanted you to share a little bit about yourself to our listeners.
For sure. My name is Adriana Carbone. I am a RECE currently working in a preschool classroom. In addition to my day-to-day classroom responsibilities, I also act as the QCCN champion for my classroom, which has allowed me to attend the Conversation Cafes held by Priyanka Tan. I thoroughly enjoy continuous learning, and the Conversation Cafes have given me that through gaining new knowledge about all things QCCN and providing me with practical strategies that I can implement in my day-to-day practice. I also am completing my resource consulting certification, which I have been working towards for the past couple of years. I have one final placement that I plan to begin in January of next year, at which point I will gain my RC certification. Also, I have been working frontline in the field for 9 years. I have a strong passion for working with children and supporting them to the best of my ability. One of my favorite things about working in childcare is building relationships with children and their families and new learning opportunities to excel my existing knowledge.
You are busy. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I know. I was like, how can I introduce myself? So I'm like, what should I include? And I just, those things just popped up. But yeah, I definitely do keep busy.
And I think you and I were introduced from QCCN because you were taking on that championship and sharing those pieces with your team too.
Yeah. And it's been a wonderful opportunity. I really do enjoy the Conversation Cafes. It's very, you know, yes, it's at the end of your workday, but it's such a relaxed, easy flowing conversation. And it's just been very beneficial to gaining new knowledge and implementing it in the classroom. So I've enjoyed that.
Yeah. And congratulations, almost an RC. And I think you're going to be so great at that.
I initially kind of had some self-doubt, wasn't sure if it was something that, you know, I was capable of doing, but I took the jump and it's been a bit of, like I said, a couple years. It's taken some time just to do course by course, but it's definitely exciting. It's exciting.
So you shared you've been in the field for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the field for almost, I think I'm almost 15. I think I did the math on it the other day because I keep on saying like 15 years.
Yeah.
So for me, How Does Learning Happen was not a part of my college experience. It didn't come out until, I guess the document's almost 10 years old now. So 4 years into my practice.
Yeah.
And there was a really big shift. And some people were on it. It was part of their schooling, or it just really aligned with their values and their beliefs. others 10 years later, we're still seeing that big question mark as to, well, how does learning happen? Was there a shift in your practice when that How Does Learning Happen was released?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't so much as feel that there was a shift for me because when I graduated, it was in 2014 and it was when the How Does Learning Happen document was introduced. But if I did have to speak on, perhaps if I was in that position, I would say, I think the biggest shift in practice would have been that children are more involved and a part of their learning process. We as educators recognize their interests and use those interests as a leading force in their play and for the experiences we provide to them within their learning environments, both indoors and outdoors. I also feel that there is a greater emphasis placed on fostering children's inquiry and natural curiosity, as well as providing opportunities to problem solve and engage in critical thinking through the materials we provide to them and conversations we engage in. And that's kind of, my take on the How Does Learning Happen document. And I think in comparison to, the traditional theme-based approach, I think that it would be kind of described as a little narrow focused in terms of topics being predetermined. And I think that, it wouldn't allow for as much of those other things to happen, like, the problem solving and the inquiry.
I think that's a really great thought, though, is linking that into the theme-based. And I often think that big question mark is we went from themes where we could plan month to month, week to week, day to day, and know exactly what we were going to do. And in a job where it's really busy and really hard, it was easier to some extent. And How Does Learning Happen is so open-ended, where each day, each minute, you're like, okay, well, what are you interested in? What can I do to support you? And it takes a lot of that on the spot thinking and documenting, and it's not the same as you had it in your head.
Yeah, exactly. I know it can change so quickly, and experiences with the kids can be so sporadic, but I think that's the part that I really enjoy about it. I can recall just the other day, I was sitting in the cozy center with a group of kids, and I was just singing some songs, and I was singing Five Little Snowmen standing in a row with a hat and a big red bow. And then before you know it, I got to the end of the song, and I was making it very silly. And the kids were, and I said, "Oh," I said, "we don't have any snow left." I said, "There's no more snowmen." And then I said, "What can we do to get snow?" And then someone was just like, "Let's go to the Dollarama." And I was just like, it turned into this whole like dramatic kind of play experience. So I think, yeah, just taking it minute by minute, day by day. Who knows what they're going to be interested in, and it keeps it very fun. So yeah, opposed to like traditional, theme based, where it's just like, this is what we're going to do. It's just, I couldn't imagine.
So we know How Does Learning Happen has those four frameworks, and I always call them my weebies, and I cannot ever remember what they are unless I say weebie first. 10 years later, I'm like, well-being, engagement, belonging, and expression.
That works. That works. I remember it was difficult trying to remember what they were at the start of it. And I know that for me, I guess, coming out of school, I remember being confused with the elect and the How Does Learning document happen. I remember those two things were kind of, they kind of, I had a difficult time because for me, the elect document, it was, very focused on the domains like social, emotional. So I had a difficult time kind of translating that to the four foundations. I was always like, well, where does the social fit and where does the cognitive fit?
All of those different pieces of, well, if it's well-being and belonging, how is that measurable almost? Like, where developmentally can I put that to measure that well-being? And I
Thank you.
don't think we can. I don't think you can measure someone's well-being, engagement, belonging, or expression. So I almost feel like they're two separate pieces.
For sure, for sure. Because I think I always was in the mindset where I felt like these are the domains and they have to fit into these four categories. But yeah, like with the four foundations, it's a little bit more easy flowing.
Linking back into those weebies and those four foundations, how does learning happen, that framework, how does that support children's learning, in your opinion?
For sure. I think that the How Does Learning Happen framework supports children's learning because it is a holistic approach that takes into consideration the most vital components that are connected to the child. When I think of the How Does Learning document, I envision the triangle diagram that places the child in the center, and each point of the triangle is represented by the family, environment, and educator. The How Does Learning Happen framework provides us with the importance of valuing families, how to consider the environment, and how to conduct ourselves as educators to allow for the most optimal growth of the children in our care. I like to consider the child, the family, the environment, and the educator as the pieces of the puzzle. And when they come together cohesively, as the How Does Learning Happen document describes them to be, children will thrive and reach their fullest potential.
I love that. So in the document, they talk about in a lot of different places, inclusivity and diversity. Would you be able to share some examples of how, this pedagogy promotes inclusivity and diversity in the classroom?
I think the How Does Learning document highlights the importance of inclusivity and diversity in the classroom because it describes that children and their families should be represented within the classroom as well as feel a sense of belonging. Families are viewed as a valuable source of knowledge, and their views and opinions should be heard, respected, and visible in the children's learning process.
I fully agree. I think families have such a unique view of their child that's completely different than the educator's view of their child. It's when the families come and say, wow, they would never eat that at home, or sometimes we'll say, oh, they did this at childcare, and they're like, oh, I've never seen them do that here. And they'll share a story at home and say they did this at home, and we'll say, we've never seen that here. It's that two different environments that you kind of linked into it's that environment that shapes the child, and they have two different environments. So tapping into that and thinking about how that shapes our pedagogy as well. So How Does Learning Happen encourages educators to engage in reflective practice. What does that mean to you, and how do you incorporate reflective practice into your and your team's daily practice?
The How Does Learning Happen document encourages educators to engage in reflective practice as it highlights the importance of critical reflection. One of the ways educators can best learn about the children in our care and develop new strategies is through open and ongoing communication that not only takes place with educators, but also caregivers. The How Does Learning Happen document encourages us to ask questions, share ideas, and gain insight from our fellow educators in a collaborative manner. Ways my team incorporates reflective practice is by discussing interactions we had with a child with other coworkers and gain their insight on what could have been a potentially struggling situation for ourselves. We can discuss with each other what worked well and what we can try differently. We engage in conversations about the child as a whole and consider all the influencing factors that may be contributing to what we observe. It is also important to recognize parents and caregivers as a valuable source of insight into all the wonders of the children in our care. Oftentimes, parents can share with us their personal experiences from their home environment and help us to make connections with what we have observed in our classroom. I'm always looking forward to these parent and caregiver conversations.
I enjoy how you said reflective practice and then connecting that reflective practice with your team to say, hey, I have some questions, or I have a challenge. I've thought about it. I need to hear like your perspective, and then linking that to the families. And sometimes I think reflective practice, I mean, it's nice to do on your own, but you have that team around you to link into to be like, hey, I need help, or even just like, something caught my eye today. Can I share this with you and see what your thoughts are too?
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, that's, I think, one of our strong points as a team is that we're always engaging in discussion, and we're always bouncing ideas off each other. Each day is a new day. What might have worked yesterday might not work today. And we're always just having conversations surrounding, what's going on with the children in our care, just so that we can offer, the best. So, we have these conversations, I think, on an ongoing daily basis, just because that's the highlight, I think, of our team is that we do engage in this reflective practice continuously, on an ongoing basis. So, the way that we interact with children, it's always evolving and it's always changing and adapting to, what best suits them.
So, what are some practical strategies and examples of how educators can implement the principles or the foundations of How Does Learning Happen in their daily practice?
For sure. So in considering belonging, I would say, the focus on that is relationship building among children, parents, and caregivers. So when I think of belonging, some of the things that I find myself doing on a daily basis, is acknowledging each child. I kind of take the morning just to distribute myself among the classroom, acknowledge each child, say good morning. Maybe I might comment on, the activity they're doing or the shirt they're wearing if I know it's of a character that they really, really like. I just like to take that time in the morning to peruse the classroom and just it allows the child to know, hey, I know you're here. I see you. And, speaking warmly to the children. And I know this one's going to sound really simple, but, being engaged and involved in their play. And for me, that looks like sitting on the carpet, meeting them at their eye level. And yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Taking time to say, I see you. I notice you. I notice not even that you're here, but I notice that you are engaged in something and I want to talk about it. Like you're doing something that's, piqued my curiosity or just to say hello.
Yeah, because like the days can go so fast, and there might be some children that are a little bit more quiet than other children, and it's like, hey, like was so and so even here today? Like I know that sounds really bad, but I just like to take that time in the morning. I make a conscious effort just to simply acknowledge each child. And I think it really goes a long way because I can honestly say that, I do have really good relationships with all the children in my care, and they do feel comfort when they're around me. So I think that little bit goes a long way.
I like that. It's what Dr. Jean Clinton says with every child deserves to have someone's eyes light up when they enter a room, just like, oh, you're here. And
You know what? Yeah, I did come across that when I was going over the document. It's a cute little thing that she had said, for sure. And then, I mean, there's also, we want to incorporate parents and caregivers in relationship, or in the belonging, aspect of the principles of how does learning happen. And I think a way in which we can focus on belonging with parents and caregivers, we've kind of touched on it previously, but, sharing bits of information to parents about their child's day. We have what's called a highlight sheet, and it says what the child ate, if they slept, and like a highlight, something that they did that day. And we pair that with, a photo from the iPad. And I think that just gives the parents a little bit of an insight into, perhaps what the child was doing that day. Engaging in deeper and meaningful conversations with parents for sure goes a long way. Like if it's a Friday, I might say, hey, do you have any plans for the weekend? And then follow up on Monday, how was that birthday party? I think just wholehearted, really like meaningful conversations go a long way. And I really do love the conversations that I have with parents. And I think, if you show that, you're interested in them, you're interested in their child, it again, it goes a long way.
It's that reciprocal partnership of getting to know them, they're getting to know you. And I like how you say, like, we write something down so that when you're like, oh, was so and so even here? Or that family member comes in to pick them up and you go, I don't know what they did today. You've made that decision to say, I'm going to notice something that they did today and take interest in it and share that with you.
Yeah, and I mean, I've kind of done it both ways, where I filled out that chart, quickly at the lunch table, and then there's other days where it's like, okay, I'm going to just try to do it later. And it's like, if I do it later, forget it. Like I don't remember. So I've just learned that when I'm sitting down at the table, just a quick 5 minutes. And again, it goes a long way. And I think the parents notice it too. Because we can't use the Hi Mama app in our daycare. So we've just thought that, sharing a picture from the iPad, and parents love it, like especially if it's a live photo. So yeah, I think that kind of stuff is important.
What are some of those challenges? And then flipping that as well, what are some of those opportunities that educators might encounter when implementing the frameworks? And how do you think they could be addressed?
Personally, I think I had a little difficult time kind of thinking up of, potential different challenges. So speaking on a personal experience, when I was first trying to implement the How Does Learning Document Happen, most specifically the four foundations, I had a difficult time, separating the elect social domains from the foundations, the four foundations from the How Does Learning Happen document. Like the two were just like, I wanted them to go together. And I was like, how do I develop these learning stories? And like, everything should go under engagement. So I had a difficult time, I think, separating the two, and really understanding what each foundation meant. But I think one way that, you know, educators can address that is just simply just looking to the document itself. It provides kind of all the answers you need. And it's very user-friendly. It's easy to understand. And it just provides, you know, great little reminders of everything that we should be doing each and every day.
Absolutely. They are like we talked about it like before, they're two very different documents with two very different pieces of information. Mm-hmm. I know one question that we get often too is like, well, what does belonging look like? What does expression? What about well-being? What about, you know, all of those pieces? And we get them to write a list of where they see children's belonging in their program. And like each chart paper will have one of the four foundations, and they just do that round robin of adding to it. And what they've noticed is they're already doing those four foundations. I guess it's that practice in defining it for their team. As you said, it's something that we live, we breathe, we do every single day. So it's something that's easily forgotten as to like, oh, what does a document really say? Oh no, it's saying everything we're doing. We have spoken a little bit about families and how does learning happen. But I'll invite you to share if there are some ways that the document invites families to be that active participant within their program. And what does being an active family or active participant for families look like in your program?
For sure. I think that there is endless examples throughout the document of how families can be active participants within the program. Prior to this podcast, like I said, I took a lot of time looking over the document, which I really did enjoy. And one trend that I noticed in almost all areas of the document was the relationship that it made to families. One of the first things I gathered from the document is that we are to build relationships with families and engage with them, which in turn allows us to best support the children in our care. So much stems from relationship building and engaging with families, because when we build relationships with families, it's also because we want to learn more about their children. When we learn more about the children in our care from their parents and caregivers, they then become an active participant in their children's learning. I think kind of touched on this before, but you know, one of the things we do is we have our highlight chart. And when we talk about things that the children did with us in that day, it allows for parents to, you know, share similarities of what they've seen their children do at home. You know, sometimes I might share something. For example, I think I shared with a parent that, you know, there was a child who was singing, she was singing Hallelujah at daycare. And she said, yes. I said, she sings it at home all the time. She asks me to play, you know, these songs for her. And I said, oh, I said, maybe you can provide to me a list of those songs so that we can play them, you know, here in our center. So I think that it's kind of, I feel like it's a little bit repetitive, you know, relationship building families, but it's also important. And I think just, yeah, like in sharing, you know, things that we've noticed at daycare, it allows parents the opportunity for them to share with us what they've seen at home. And, you know, we can make that connection, and parents can be a part of their children's learning. And I think when parents are a part of their children's learning, they're also active participants in the program.
I know you said repetitive, but I think anything that we say that's repetitive, it means it's important. So when we say like relationships, it's because relationships are like the foundation.
Yeah.
So it's not that we're like repeating it over and over and over again because it's just not relevant. We're repeating it over and over again because it's that important.
For sure. And like literally like one of the first things when I got to reading it was relationships. It was like one of the first things that the document states. So for sure, I think relationships are just about everything. I mean, if you don't have a relationship with the parents in your care, like, do you really have anything? Because I know, you know, in wanting to have those tough and difficult conversations with parents, it's like, how do you approach a parent to say something that's a little bit sensitive if you don't have that relationship with them? So I think relationships are huge. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy having conversations with my parents. And another thing too, in a way that I think parents can be active participants in the program is, you know, we share with parents things that we notice that their child have done, you know, really well in the classroom. And we also share with parents the goals that, you know, we have for their children. But it's a great time to ask parents, you know, like, what are your goals for your child? And, you know, we can incorporate those into the classroom. And I think when parents have a voice and a say, you know, in what is such a large part of their child's day, like it's childcare, like they're with us all day. So I think when they have a voice in that, you know, and it's shown and it's visible, it allows for them to be active participants for sure.
I fully agree. The last piece of the triangle, the one piece that I always find gets left out of the conversation, is the environment.
Yeah.
And so I think we talk a lot about families. We talk a lot about the child. We talk about ourselves. And at the end of the day, when we say, like, we'll tell, share about your environment, the resources, your room setup, sometimes there's a couple of crickets. For you, would you be able to share some examples of how the physical environment is the third educator in your program?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my take on this kind of question, you know, I'm going to do my best just to kind of paint a little bit of a picture of what our classroom looks like. And perhaps that could, you know, answer your question. So, you know, I would just, you know, if you were a parent coming into the classroom, I would say, you know, upon entering the classroom, you would notice that we choose to keep our lights off. We utilize a lot of natural light. So our blinds are kept open. In addition to our natural light, we have twinkle lights, essentially just like Christmas lights with a soft glow that hang, you know, in various places throughout the classroom. We also have calming music that is played in the morning, which is very beneficial to keeping the mood kind of calm. And we have clearly defined play centers. So, you know, you will be able to easily notice, you know, this center from that center, kitchen to craft center. And we also have really focused on, you know, incorporating our cozy center and making sure that it is that, because I think it is a really important space for children to have. We have our cozy cube, we have soft furniture, we have sensory bottles, calming toys, and we, you know, have the ceiling lowered with just kind of a drape that hangs. So it makes it very cozy for the kids. So that's a little bit about what my classroom looks like. I think we're, you know, continuously taking into consideration, you know, our classroom setup. Is it working right now? Do we need to make changes? Are there runways? Are the children interested? But I think we do a really good job at making sure those elements are always included, you know, soft lighting, or actually, sorry, no lighting, because we have the lights off. But once you get used to it, it's good. Like, it is so chill in our room when I walk in. It's great.
We always have the lights off in our office. Like, there's a few of us that have the front office there, and we turn the lights off unless we're working the evening and we have to turn them on.
Yeah.
But I love that's the first thing that you brought up, because lighting has such a big impact. And I don't think we even register how I don't even know, the fluorescent light, how it makes us feel, but it gives you like headaches and you get irritable. And when you walk into your program, it sounds like you walk into somewhere where you're just like, it's warm, soft. It looks like I belong here and I see my interests. I see things I'm wanting to do here. And someone noticed me too.
For sure. Yeah. Honestly, I have to give props to my supervisor. We actually call her like the fairy godmother, because, you know, we'll just have like these little like additions like pop up in our classroom. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, she made like this chandelier out of like a basket and beads and like this twine, and she wrapped it in these like soft lights, and it's hanging from, you know, just above our craft table. So, you know, she really, I think, instilled that, you know, how lighting does play a role. So we offer little elements that you wouldn't think, but it just goes such a long way. Like, you know, we have plants hanging and all that kind of stuff. Oh, and the other thing too, when you said, you know, we don't always think about the lighting, I guess like the carpets can kind of be a thing too. Like, if you have like carpets are kind of like what absorbs the sound. And that's not even something that I would have considered. So, you know, in thinking back to like, you know, when we couldn't have carpets and all that kind of stuff, like
there's still centers who are really worried about carpets and germs and being dirty.
Yeah.
And
but I
they're
guess
so
like a...
warm. And you talked about clearly defining spaces.
Mm-hmm.
In certain spaces, it's hard to have furniture that does that. So having a carpet gives you that line without bulking it up with furniture. Absolutely, carpet.
And then, I think like when considering the environment too, you know, oftentimes like we use a timer throughout the day. So it helps children to know what's happening next. We have minimal transitions. And you know, if we notice that there's kind of like a little bit of a hiccup or a little bit of a something that's not quite working in our routine that, you know, doesn't allow for it to to flow as smoothly, you know, we are constantly making adjustments to that. So again, going back to like the reflective piece, I think, you know, reflecting on each and every
Reflecting on each day, each moment, it's always
yeah,
changing, and
each
be
and
like, today
everything,
didn't work. If I had a time machine, I could do it over again. What would I do differently? Okay, let's do it.
For
Yeah,
sure.
because it changes so fast. Well, I think we've moved through a lot of information, but I wanted to see, is there anything else that you wanted to share? For those who are listening, she just shook her head. No.
Yeah, this was no, definitely. Thank you for having me. It was a very memorable experience. I think my face is like so warm from laughter. Yeah, thank you for having me. It was definitely a fun experience.
I have my cheeks hurt too from laughing and smiling. And I hope everyone else has as much fun listening to it as we had talking about it.
For sure.
And that wraps up another episode of the ECCDC podcast. A big thank you to our incredible guest, Adriana Carbone, for sharing her wisdom and experiences with us. Learning is indeed a lifelong journey, and today's conversation has given us so much to reflect upon. Before I go, I want to express how much fun it was to sit down with Adriana. There were nerves, there was laughter, and my cheeks still hurt from the enjoyment of our conversation. I hope you, our listeners, had as much fun listening as we did recording. And remember, if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to explore in future episodes, feel free to reach out. We love hearing from you. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and thank you for being a part of the ECCDC podcast community. I'm Katie Lynn signing off. Take care.